Good morning. And this is Flashback Twin Cities. I am Tom Osman at KLBB Club 1220. Our number is 651-275-1220. Today will be a fun show as we will have Judy Hennigan and Jack Stallman, a.k.a. as the Twin Cities' own Martini and Olive. And this pair has been stuck in the 70s for the last 34 years. December 31st, 1979 is where their clock stopped. And we'll be discussing today a little bit more about Christmas and the 1970s and some of the outrageous, unforgettable, and sometimes regretted parts of that decade. So I want to start with a story. I saw someone recently, and you might find this experience common also. I'm at the grocery store, and I see someone wearing something that I had not seen in a long time. This person was wearing a bright polyester pantsuit. And you might see this person at the casino, or you might see this person at a restaurant sometime, and you wonder, why would they wear this? What's their motivation? Are they trying to be different? Are they trying to get attention? And I don't think so. I think what I find a lot of people I know and doing this my website and finding video and talking to people is you find a spot in life you're comfortable in. And when you're watching a movie or you're watching something on TV and you hit up the pause button or you want to relive that same moment, and sometimes your mind is stuck in that moment. You don't move from that. The music you listen to, the technology you use. I know people that don't use cell phones, and they're not gonna move beyond where they are because the cell phone is James, you have a cell phone, right?
I do.
Okay, so you did move beyond on the 90s, right?
I did, but I think of like my dad. He has one of those old flip phones, used it until the hinges broke. They brought it into Best Buy. They said, "Hey, George, get over here. Look at this thing. Someone still has a phone like this."
Yeah, it looks like a shoebox.
It's a dinosaur phone.
But you find people that and sometimes people have more than one characteristic that they're paused. And I don't say stuck. I think that people want to be in a spot they're comfortable and they're happy in. And so I wear my Members Only jacket twice a year. It's a very comforting feeling for me. So when I go to a concert, if I go out sometimes, I wear it. And it does get some reaction, sometimes not a good reaction. but you feel comfortable with that. And I think that Christmas is also a time for flashback. It's a time that it's actually accepted. And you bring out the same ornaments, you bring out the same decorations and you look at these things in your house and you see this this crocheted Noel long striped thing that was popular in the 70s, and you put it out there. But you put it out there because it's every year, and you can't not put it up because it's Christmas and it's part of your holiday tradition. And, you know, even though it might be out of style, and you never see that in the Macy's showroom, but it's part of our comfort zone. And I think that another thing that's comfortable is all those Christmas shows that are on every year. And luckily, the networks have not had to produce a lot of new ones the last 50 years because all we want to watch is Rudolph and Frosty. I know that...
That's true.
Did you watch Rudolph this year?
I haven't seen it yet, but it's not officially Christmas until I do. And I think of like the new shows that they have are mostly just celebrities on there voicing the same old stories. The same things.
Well, let's take a little sample here of Rudolph.
On Sunday, December 4th, Burl Ives again tells the exciting new story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on the General Electric Fantasy Hour. The date, Sunday, December 4th. Join Rudolph in a trip to the Island of Misfit Toys. Meet Yukon Cornelius, the funniest prospector of the North.
Gad, Zeus, the bumble snow monster of the North strikes again.
Meet Santa's elves and hear seven original Christmas songs. Burl sings.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer.
It's a holly jolly Christmas special for the entire family. Don't miss Rudolph, Sunday, December 4th, in color on most of these stations.
Mark the calendar.
Still in color, too.
Not too shabby. I love that one.
This was the new Rudolph. So this commercial was a little bit, I found that off a tape that was about 35 years old, and it was still a new story. This next one also is actually my favorite one. Jimmy Durante narrated Frosty, and this is a half-hour program. And it was part of, again, it's what makes me feel that Christmas is coming.
Look, the hack's back. Let's see if it'll make Frosty alive again.
Happy birthday! Hey, I said my first words. But snowmen can't talk. All right, come on now. What's the joke? Could I really be alive? I mean, I can make words. I can move. I can juggle. I can sweep. I can count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9, 6, 8. Well, I can count to 5. What do you know? I'm even ticklish. In fact, I'm all living. I am alive. What a neat thing to happen to a nice guy like me.
There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found. Oh, when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around.
Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be. And the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me.
Every time I watch that, I still wonder what's going to happen at the end of the show. Will Frosty make it and be able to make it for Christmas?
So you're stuck before you find out what the ending is.
Oh, I'm stuck. I watch it for 30 seconds, and I'm watching the whole thing. And even though I have it on DVD and tape, when I see it on TV, I have to watch it. Because I want to watch the new Christmas commercials. I want to watch what will be the new commercials that I want to watch every year. Beyond the TV shows, I think that everyone remembers their favorite Christmas commercials. And luckily, again, that the people that have made video and made TV did not have to make new ones every year because we wanted to watch the ones we're comfortable with. Not all of them made that, made the tradition. So how many years did Peter come home from college and wake up with the Folgers coffee? The same kid who got picked up by Ronald McDonald ice skating every year. But I do get a lot of requests on tcmedianow.com, the website where you can see a lot of old commercials and video. For commercials that aired once, it may be a local commercial that a family member aired in, or for some of our defunct department stores we talked about last week. This clip I wanted to play here was a Toys R Us commercial, and it only aired for about 2 years.
We, Toys R Us, we wanna be Toys R Us.
For some reason, Jeffrey the Giraffe doing a John Travolta disco dance in front of a Toys R Us was not a Christmas classic that survived past 1979.
That's really strange. That is the most funky toy commercial I've ever heard.
That one has received a lot of hits.
Understandably.
I've actually not seen that. I found that on a tape many years ago, and I've not seen it since. But crazier things can happen. It may come back. Do you enjoy dinner part of your Christmas tradition, James?
Yeah, it is. I think so. Usually the night before Christmas, we get together, have a little chow, and actually breakfast the day after is a little more. But
now, have you ever done takeout for Christmas?
No, I haven't had that joy yet. Maybe this year.
Well, there is the option, and the Kentucky Fried Chicken people wanted to make sure we knew that not only is Christmas dinner and family part of Christmas, but so is fried chicken. So let's take a listen to a commercial from 1970. This is Colonel Sanders, actually, inviting everyone to try his, again, new finagled Kentucky Fried Chicken this holiday season.
I'm Colonel Harold Sanders, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about my Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Hey, you two coming?
You go ahead, honey. I want to talk to these folks a little bit longer. Now, I said Kentucky Fried Chicken. There's only one way to cook Colonel Sanders' Kentucky Fried Chicken, and that's my way. We always use plump, young broilers, always fresh, never frozen chicken. It's cut in pieces, and each piece is dipped in milk and egg wash, then into seasoned flour, in which we have the 11 different spices and herbs for flavor. One more thing, folks. It's the only way that you're going to get chicken that is finger-licking good. And I'd be mighty proud to have you try Colonel Sanders' Kentucky Fried Chicken. Mighty proud. Excuse me a moment, will you please? Hey, look at there. Didn't I tell you it was finger-licking good?
Kentucky Fried Chicken. If you want Kentucky Fried Chicken, you have to visit me.
The colonel's hanging out. The tree is lit. The young granddaughter is trying to get his attention, but he wants to tell us good folks about that Kentucky Fried Chicken. And again, the new finagled Kentucky Fried Chicken.
It always has time for the people.
Yeah, you have to make time for the people.
You know, it's amazing that you can make chicken sound so magical and so familial.
Is there one in Stillwater? Can I stop by afterward? When we come back, two people who have not left their comfort zone again since 1979, Martini and Olive, will be at the Old Log Theater December 17th and 18th. They'll be joining me live next after this break. And back to Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB. Give the number 651-275-1220 if you have a 1970s Christmas memory you want to share or a commercial that you recall. Joining me in studio right now, and this is a voice you might have heard a little bit in the last segment, is Jack Stallman, one half of the Martini and Olive act. And on the phone, we have Judy Hennigan, who plays Olive Newton-John in Martini and Olive's revival. Good morning.
Great to be here.
Good morning.
How are you, Judy?
Thanks for having us. Pardon?
How are you, Judy? It's been a long time.
I know. I'm good. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having us on.
So, just a little bit of background. This show was created by Judy and Grant Ritchie, a local actor, actually a national actor, was in several national commercials and film. Please, Judy, tell me a little bit about the formulation of the show. You know, how it started and just the origins of it.
Right. Well, Grant and I, we'd been friends for a long time, and he was doing kind of a funny lounge act called, he had this Tony Martin character, and we were doing a benefit for Frank Theater, and Grant suggested that maybe I would team up with him and come up with a character, and so I came up with the name Olive, and he changed his to Martini, and that's where it started. It started with one medley, and we did a variety show, a comedy show at a comedy club here. We just did a medley, and people liked it so much that we just kept building on. Then we added dancers, and we added a manager who plays guitar and is a very funny character, and the swizzle stick dancers, and the security guard that's very strange and wonderful and gets into the act. It just grew and grew from just one medley to several different medleys, all 70s music, laughingly poking fun at the 70s and the style mistakes of the 70s and, parroting all that sort of thing and also gathering the worst kind of 70s fashion that we could find from every single thrift store in the Twin Cities area.
We were looking at some clips actually before the show this morning, James and I, and we were wondering where did you find those shirts? And I know a lot of them might have been custom or post retrofit, but some of those shirts,
you can only describe them as fantastic. Those things are amazing.
You had to have gone to Ragstock when they first opened up at the right time to find those as they were being discarded.
Yeah, we have been collecting forever, and Grant and I always have a really good eye for the weirdest, most hideous thing we can find. And it's getting harder and harder because a lot of people are just wearing these things now. So we had to go more more Vegas in the last, like, 5 years or so. But we've been collecting for, well, we started the act in 92, and just we just have bins and bins of hideous 70s stuff. And we've had some things made, some capes and feather and glitter outfits made as well, that matching outfits. Yeah, so it is, it's just one bad costume change after another.
You're competing with people to have to get these costumes? Like, they're wearing them just in their regular lives?
Do you go to Vegas is there a convention you go to in Vegas to, or do you go to Vegas and see someone? I saw a guy with a polyester suit on. Do you go up to him and say, hey, I'll give you $20 if you want to give me your your lime green suit?
Yeah, we wouldn't give them. I don't know, because $420.
Oh,
we
probably
we try
just
to
jump
keep
them.
It somewhere around the $8 range.
Well, we're going to get people to go to the Old Lock Theater on December 17th and 18th, so you might be able to afford that that suit. When I see them at Rainbow next time, I'll let them know you're giving them your number.
Please do.
It could be like Rocky Horror Picture Show. We should encourage people to come dressed as, you know, their favorite character or their favorite Tony Martini or Olive. Outfit that they have in their closet, so please come on out.
There is a market for it. When I've done live show, I've offered to people to give their tapes away, and usually they say, "We'll take them now because they're going in the trash tomorrow." The shirts are a little bit more desirable right now. So you started in '92, and then it evolved into a full show. And what year was that in, Judy?
Mm-hmm. I think it took us about 3 years, and Sandy Hay from the Hay City Stage at that time approached us to do a full-length show, and then we added all sorts of other characters and did a two-hour show and came up with more medleys and made very funny videos to add to the show, our workout video and our disaster footage video from the from 1970 films. And so we added all sorts of things, and then since then, we went on to do it at a number of different theaters throughout the Twin Cities, and we toured in Orlando and Seattle, and then myself and my husband moved out to L.A., and Grant came up for a little bit, but he came and went several times, so we did Martini and Olive out in L.A., but it turned out that I would come back with my husband every Christmas season to do our Christmas show here, because BLB is really where we opened the Bryant Lake Ball Theater in Uptown with Martini and Olive, and so we really became a staple of Bryant Lake Ball, usually doing our New Year's show there before we did a bunch of other theaters in the Twin Cities.
And you were the first show at Bryant Lake Ball, the first actual stage show.
Yeah, we were.
In about 1995, 96. And I think 95 was your first year, and I remember I first saw it the second year, and I saw it many times since then. You mentioned those videos, those great workout videos, which I assume are on in retail stores everywhere. I want to play a little clip from that. Unfortunately, on radio, you can't show the visuals, but I do have the music from that, so just play a small clip of that here.
8, 9, instant replay. Your body, our body, everybody, work your body. Your body, our body, everybody, work your body. Macho, macho, have the kind of body, always in demand. Jogging in the morning, go man, go. Work up in the health club, see our muscles glow. You're so vain, you probably think this workout's about you. Hey. Physical. We want to get physical. Let's get into physical. Let us hear your body talk. Don't cry out loud. Your body talk ain't a stop.
Okay, I'm skipping the Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm going straight to work out now after this. That is inspiring.
Well, if you don't see the video, then you don't see the bit where we take a break and we eat a stick of butter.
Well, and the Kemp's ice cream straight from the freezer afterward. That's my favorite part, is when the ice cream comes out. So, Judy, you and Grant did the show for 14 years, right? About 14 years together?
I guess it's more like, I think, 17 years. We did it pretty much all the way through till like 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
When Grant died. And I don't know if you mentioned this before, that with Jack, that he had, in 99, he was diagnosed with cancer.
Right.
And he beat it, and it was fantastic, and then it came back in 10 years later.
No, in fact, I was just getting that because, in full disclosure,
right.
Grant was a good friend of both myself and,
mm-hmm.
and Jack, and was the theater director of North High School, among some of his professional work. And I know that he would want to be remembered for everything he did, but a lot of kids from North St. Paul and from this side of the river, he was a big part of their lives. And I think a great thing now is that his character is going to come back to life. You know, Grant will be with us always, but Jack Stallman, who's sitting next to me here, will be stepping into the role of Grant Ritchie playing Tony Martini.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to do it. I'd heard about the audition in November, and Babs from Babs Casting, who's just absolutely fantastic, reached out to me personally and said, "Hey, you might want to consider coming in for this." And I thought I had no chance in Hades of getting the part because I'm a little young for it. I am. Grant was our teacher. So he was 20 years probably our elder, give or take. And but Judy gave me a shot, and I went in there kind of playing, and I went in with kind of my own spin on the character, that I was Tony Martini's long lost son that he never talked about and kept in the basement. And I went in there fully dressed in my 1970s garb that I had just collected, and came in with my own old medley, and Judy gave me a shot. And really, for me, this is kind of a full circle thing, not just, you know, filling Grant's shoes, who was, you know, one of my idols, and I went on to go act in LA for 5 years, and you know, so he sort of set me on that course. But it really just it was my first, I guess you could call it, I'm gonna go air quotes on it and say, professional theater experience. And again, Judy, not slamming what you guys were doing was very professional, but he had us in 1996 as the security guards, and I was 16 years old, and I was paid with two, not one, but two drink tickets, and not alcoholic drink tickets. I mean, I had Buddy's Orange Soda, and I thought
that's still how we pay our people.
That is. Yeah, we're hoping if we get enough people out this year. What is it? If everybody who comes sees the show or has seen the show tells three friends, we might be able to pay the Swizzle Stick Dancers this year. So we're excited about that.
Well, they get the cheese platter when they go to Brian Lake Bowl, right? They've gotten the cheese platter or the
all green M&Ms, right?
That's right,
Judy?
Right.
That's right. We treat them right. We give them drink tickets and green M&Ms and cheese.
So I had a chance in 1996 to see the show, and we were in it. I mean, more or less, you know, the security guard plays a role. So when Tony Martini and Olive Newton-John come out into the audience, you know, they're sort of protecting us as we go out there, which obviously is very tongue-in-cheek. But
and just to give a little bit of, so those that are not familiar, first of all, again, this is joining with Judy Hennigan and Jack Stallman of Martini and Olive. We'll be performing the December 17th and 18th at the Old Lock Theater, formerly of the Bryan Lake Bowl. It was a staple of Bryan Lake Bowl for many years. So, Judy, tell me a little bit about why the 70s. So what when someone comes who's never seen Martini and Olive, I know you'll have a lot of repeat people who remember you and Grant, but what about people who have never seen the show before? What can they expect?
Well, it's Martini and Olive. It's a very cheesy lounge act caught in the 70s time warp. They think that they are big, huge celebrities, which is why they have a security guard, this disgruntled security guard who's just hysterical, and he gets in on the act and gets to read some of his personal poetry, which is just hysterical, and does a little Christmas bit. We sing medleys from the 70s, and Grant and I started doing this because we both are products of the 70s, and we love the music. He loved the disco, I loved the rock, and we just kind of put it together and came up with an arsenal of medleys from easy listening rock, country, funk, love, and holiday medley, holiday disco. But anyway, Martini and Olive, they're just a tragically unhip duo, kind of the Midwestern Sonny and Cher. And we have this cornball variety show that we've created with mediocre dancers that they're like the creme de la creme of adult dance class, the swizzle stick dancers. And you cannot believe them when you watch them, how you just, they're just so funny. They're not actors. We found them in adult dance class, and they're just great, and they get the joke, and they're so funny, and they just shouldn't be dancing, but they are, and everything is so earnest, and it's a mockery of the 70s, but it's with much love and sincerity and lots of great music. We're going to have Santa, a ventriloquist Santa. So that's something fun we're looking forward to.
That's
this
new.
Year.
Never heard of that
and
before.
Then he's new and very funny. And we also, of course, have our manager, Vince Staninsky. He sings hilarious original songs, a parody of the Edmund Fitzgerald called The Wreck of the Martini and Olive.
And that's played
and
by your husband.
Yes, Peter Stalock.
She didn't want to mention
and
that.
Great.
Yeah.
And he's great. Right, he's so funny.
Sorry,
and,
gents, she's off the market.
Well, Judy might be, but Olivia, I'm sorry, Olive Newton-John might be available.
Is very right. much available.
Yes, she's so available. And when you see the show, you'll know why she's so available.
we do have two free tickets to the Old Log Theater for December 17th.
The show runs December 17th and 18th, and we'll even do this. When we do the giveaway, we'll let you pick your night.
Oh, great.
You can pick your friends. You can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose. Is that mm-hmm. how it goes? But you can pick your night.
So, a pair of free tickets, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have a question of 70s trivia, and we'll see if Judy knows this question.
But don't blurt it out.
Don't blurt it out.
Don't ruin it now.
What was the number one charted artist of the 1970s? And I'll give you a hint. It was not Martini and Olive. There's one group that it was not. 651-275-1220. Pair tickets to Martini and Olive at the Old Log Theater. What was the number one charted artist of the 1970s? So I do have. Let's you talk about these medleys, and I want to play a little sample of this, which is just fantastic. There is not a commercially released Martini and Olive DVD, so the audio that I'm gonna play here,
but there should be.
There's.
I think we're on to something.
We're working on that.
It's all on 8-track anyway. So
sure.
Well, and I was saying that your history, your kind of stuff. And I said earlier, a DVR or a DVD player, you pause at a certain point in time. Your 8mm projector is stuck in one frame right now, right? It's still stuck on December 31st, 1979.
Right, and that's part of the joy, I think, of the show. But it does need to be said that the show, you don't necessarily have to. Have lived through the 70s to really understand the show. Because I came up through the ranks of show choir in high school.
Jazz hands.
And jazz hands and the whole thing. And just over the top and singing pop top 40 songs and then dancing to them. And taking it very seriously in high school. And it's great to kind of have this outlet to do that again and take it much less. Well, Tony Martini, the character, takes it very seriously, but it's just a treat. So you don't necessarily have to know the 70s, but if you know the 70s, it's even better.
Great. Judy, can you stand for one more segment?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back. Flashback Twin Cities.